Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built, by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth through a fiduciary standard, by White Plains Hospital, and by Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk. Here we are on the sports report, joined by Bob Cimino. Bob Cimino, the head boys varsity basketball coach at Mount Vernon High School. He has been selected for induction into the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame November 15th. That's a Wednesday at Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. Class of 2023 also includes women's basketball pioneer and longtime official Margaret Muggsy Frena of Yonkers. Also, legendary Yorktown lacrosse coach Jim Turnbull. Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl winning offensive guard. He was a legendary two-way lineman at Hastings on Hudson High School, Allie Marpin. And at one time, he was it, the in thing, the best football player in New York State, Sammy Maldonado, iconic running back from Harrison High School, who played in college at Ohio State and at the University of Maryland. Bobby Cimino, first of all, congratulations to you. And I do have to ask you, after all these years, how does it feel to finally get elected to the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame?
John, it's a very nice thing. A lot of very important, famous people have been inducted into that prestigious hall. So I feel very nice about it.
I remember telling you a number of years back, Bob, somehow the Westchester Hall of Fame is not complete without you in it. It took some time. You finally got in. You've always been very kind of nonchalant about it, I think, kind of laid back about it. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It happened for you. And you as the head varsity basketball coach at Mount Vernon High School, which is number one all time, with 12 boys state championships. How many have you coached to? How many teams have you coached to a state crown?
Been fortunate with eight, John, eight.
Eight out of 12 overall. What year did you take over as the head coach? Was it 02? Because you had Marshall ahead of you there, right?
Then Joe Galgano was the coach. Mm-hmm. I took over from Joe Galgano.
Mm-hmm. Marshall used to show up in some really nice suits, right?
Oh, yeah.
If I remember right. Always like the best dressed coach on the court at that time. Yep, 30 years ago and more. And then Joe Galgano took the program for a bit. Then you came in and you really established the standard that there was a great standard for Mount Vernon already, having produced so many NBA players, Earl Tatum, the Williams brothers, the McRae brothers. When I took over as the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame Master of Ceremonies, which we passed along to Kevin Devaney from Local Live TV about a year ago, one of the first people I inducted was Gus Williams out of Mount Vernon. I heard a story from one of the Mount Vernon people then about, and there's always talk about how Denzel Washington was a basketball player, a football player, but a not good enough basketball player because of the legacy at Mount Vernon. I had somebody come up to me that night from Mount Vernon and claim he was the person who turned Denzel into the arts, into acting, into theater, into everything like that, because he saw Denzel on the basketball court make a mistake I'm not going to mention here, and told Denzel after the game, "I don't think basketball, you're a pretty good player, but I don't think this is for you. Maybe you should get into doing something else." Why has Mount Vernon produced so many great, great players through the decades?
It's the water, John.
And some of the avocados like Tom Brady, which I asked Allie Marpin, who's going into the Hall of Fame with you, about Brady and the avocados. I said, "Do you think it's the avocados?" And Allie said, "Maybe, but I think it's more attention to detail."
Basketball is religion in Mount Vernon. It's what we do. It's what we talk about. And the tradition is unsurpassed. And the fellas who come up now and trying out for the teams, they all hear the stories about all the greats and what it took to and what it might take to walk in their shoes someday. So it's just passed down. And it's a beautiful thing to see and to hear.
Now I'm wearing my White Plains orange. You and I went head to head for many years, me as the public address announcer at White Plains in the first decade of this century, what they call the aughts. And you always came in with the best team around in Mount Vernon. What a rivalry that was. What a rivalry it still is. You might remember we had to lock down the gym at least 45 minutes before every game at White Plains. Even the White Plains people told me, I don't care who you are and what you do. If you're not here at least 45 minutes before game time, you can call the game from out in the parking lot. So I always made sure I'd get there maybe 75 to 90 minutes ahead of time just to be sure. So we had that great rivalry back then, which exists until today. I'll tell you this. Even though I've been connected at White Plains in a number of different ways, been on the Laux Track and Field Committee since 89 and more, on my front door, when you walk into my house, there is a picture that's been up there for 40 years. It's a picture of Ray Williams, Gus's brother, another Mount Vernon legend who I idolized growing up as a Knicks fan. And I've always said through the years, two people from Mount Vernon who are not in the hall need to get in. One is Ray Williams. Hopefully he'll get in one day. The other is Bobby Cimino. Where did Bob Cimino's journey begin?
Well, in the Mount Vernon playgrounds, really. A friend of mine came up to me one day and he said, let's go across the street from Lincoln Playground. I want to coach this eighth grade team at St. Ursula's Church. And I said, what do you want to do that for? Why do we want to coach kids? And he said, nah, come along. His name's George Ciancio. And I went with him. And a few months later, George moved. So I was the stuck, might be the right word at the time, with the eighth grade team there. And I became the farm system to the great Tony Farentino. And I used to trade off. He used to bring me camp flyers for his camp. He used to hand them out. And I got to go watch Tony at practice at Mount Vernon High. And so slowly but surely, time passed. And my athletes were going to the high school. And Marshall Reif, with Lou DeMello and Joe Galgano, asked me if I wanted to coach the summer league team. I thought a great opportunity. I'd enjoy it. Some of my former players, I coached that. Then Lou DeMello went on to college. Joe Galgano got bumped up to Marshall's assistant, and they asked me if I wanted to coach JV. I came in on the JV scene, and I had a great time. Being the JV coach in Mount Vernon is probably the best job there is, because you get to coach the best ninth and 10th graders in the city. And if you lose, nobody knows about it because it's JV.
But Mount Vernon never loses. That's the first thing.
I have witnessed some losses.
A couple.
I can attest to that.
We've seen a couple that could have gone the other way, where you admitted, hey, some years the ball just doesn't bounce your way. You might have a better team, but the ball doesn't bounce your way.
In order to appreciate the wins, you have to stomach the losses. So Joe Galgano became coach after Marshall retired, and Joe went on to college, and then I put in for the job, and I got the job.
Now, this coaching pipeline at Mount Vernon has produced a number of Hall of Famers. Tony, Lou DeMello, who the last year I emceed was 2 years ago, 2021. He was on the roster, on the list of inductees into the Hall of Fame that night. Finally got to meet Lou that night for the first time ever, too. Quite a guy he is. And your legacy lasted for so many years. It goes on. You've been the athletic director at Mount Vernon High School, too, for many, many years. Your role, when did you take over as AD?
2010.
Now, your role as athletic director, has that helped you from a coaching standpoint to obviously better understand what your teams need, as opposed to you as a coach going to another AD and saying, hey, I need this, I need that. And the AD says, well, I got a budget. Everybody needs something.
No, I always knew what I needed to do as a coach. That wasn't an issue. Being the AD, you have to be fair to all the teams. So I try to do that. And at the same time, I want to make sure that I give my all to my team, to my players. Nothing is more important to me than my players.
What's the most important characteristic of a Bob Cimino player?
Of one of my players?
Most important characteristic overall in any player.
Oh, that they work hard and they become good citizens. If all we're doing is bouncing a ball, then I'm not doing my job. We want to see, and we've been blessed to see many future stars, both on the court and definitely in their future lives. It's an awesome thing to see.
Bob Cimino is the head boys varsity basketball coach over at Mount Vernon High School. He'll be inducted into the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame November 15th. Here we are on the Sports Report, Westchester Talk Radio. I'm John Marino. Bob Cimino, I'm going to talking about some of the legendary players. I'm going to run some names by you from the era when I was over at White Plains doing the public address. Guys who came through and went on to have great careers and do other things. Jonathan Mitchell.
Yeah, fantastic player. New York State Player of the Year in 2006. Two-time state and federation champion. National champion at Florida. National champion. And college coach. And now he's coaching in the G League. So he's a pro coach now. And it's, he's raised a beautiful family. He comes back from time to time. I was fortunate enough to attend his wedding in Key West at the Hemingway House. It was an amazing wedding. And he just he's just so successful and such a great man.
He wrapped up his college career at Rutgers, correct?
Yes, he did.
Michael Coburn. What a player he was.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous player. Tough as nails. He has three state championships. And he just so successful in life. He went on to Rutgers, did his thing there.
And had a big career at Rutgers.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He had a real nice career. And now he's a big-time hospital administrator. And he just is one of the poster men, if you will, for the success of Mount Vernon basketball.
I thought he was the toughest guy on the court, the way he drove the ball through the hoop, through the lanes, basically, and the hits he would take, and he wouldn't lose possession of the ball. He had, like, great, even though he was a smaller guy, he had great, I guess, core body strength that kept him up in the air. He'd get hit, he'd be dribbling through the lane, and hands would be coming out. He'd get smacked around, you would see, and it just, nothing fazed him on the court. To me, I thought that's what any kind of player at any level needs to be.
Tough as nails and a tremendous leader. Definitely was a coach, or if not the coach, on the court.
No question about that. All right, Bob, got another name for you. A guy that I thought was the glue guy back then to the Jonathan Mitchells, Michael Coburns, and the others. Dilly. Danilo Hutchinson.
Yes. A very tough human being. He's one of my coaches now. He's actually our strength and conditioning coach. And he's here all the time. He's a staple in Mount Vernon. Works for the city hall. His story is unsurpassed. It was lore. It's Mount Vernon lore, kind of like the Willis Reed story. Well, we made it to the state championship. He's playing our five. He's an undersized center. And we're playing Niagara Falls, and they've got a really good team. Second quarter action. Dilly goes up for a block, and he lands, I believe, on someone's foot, his knee. He just grabs his knee as he's on the floor in a lot of pain. Gets taken off the court. Halftime comes. We go into the locker room. They've got the trainer's table right in front of the locker room, and you can see he's in pain. Being worked on by two of our trainers. And I went down and I said, "What's the story?" And Dilly said, I want to play. And I looked at our trainers and they said, "Well, whatever he has, it's not going to get worse. He's in pain. It's not going to get worse." So I said, "Dilly, are you sure?" Yeah. So he came in the game. He was hobbling a little bit. Made important rebounds. He dove on the floor. Superhuman performance. Superhuman. He ended up tearing either his MCL or ACL, and he got operated on after the season, but he got a parade. His endurance, his toughness got Mount Vernon a parade, rings, jackets, and a championship.
I remember when that happened. Was it 08?
Dilley was an 06 graduate.
06.
2006.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a long time ago and went by fast, no question about that. But I always looked at him, watched the way he played on the court, and it made me say to myself, you don't have to be a superstar to play at Mount Vernon. If you know how to play the game, you'll get on the court. If you make things happen in different ways, you'll get on the court and you'll find your own recognition that way, your own way. I've always been of the mindset, some people may not agree with me, but on a basketball team, like any sports team, you got to have the glue guys. But I think especially in basketball, on the court, you got to have those one or two guys who do the kind of work that you probably don't expect the superstars to do. Maybe you do to some extent. Everybody's got to pitch in. But the guy who goes above and beyond the call of duty, his score sheet at the end of the night might say 0 points, but it might say 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks, and that's as good as 30 points.
His heart was as big as a lion. And, you know, he just played. He was a great teammate. He wanted to win for his teammates at any cost, and he did.
Bob Cimino, through the years you've coached many a great player, produced a number of championships for Mount Vernon. The upcoming 2023-24 season is upon us. How does your team look?
Well, I would say we lack height. We're not a very big team. We are fast. We're led by a great player, a junior named Tavian Tyler. He's our captain. We're going to work hard on defense, and we're going to try to push the ball and run. And we'll start covering the other team as soon as they get off their bus.
How about winning a state championship again?
From your lips to God's ears, I would like that. That would be nice.
See, again, you're always very understated. It's kind of like our good friend Joe Cassarella up at North Rockland. My first year doing White Plains games on the old WFAS radio in White Plains with Harry Jefferson, I remember calling Joe up during the week, get some pregame info from him up at North Rockland, and he said, I know, John, you're going to ask me, am I going to win a championship again this year like we have the past couple of years? And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen this year. And then during the White Plains game, final minute of the game, North Rockland kind of pushed through a last-second touchdown. They got the win, turned their season around. They went all the way to another championship again. I saw Joe right after that, and I said, right, Joe, not this year, not another championship, but you did it again. Is it the way you approach things, just the mindset of it's step one, anything can happen?
Oh, it certainly can. There's no sense thinking about winning until you start to put together some victories and see what your team is really like. If you look ahead, it's not going to be the picture that you had hoped for. So I'm not a pessimist, but I don't ooze of enthusiasm. I want hard work. That's what I want to see. That's how I try to make my face look like in practice. There's nothing better than practicing here in Mount Vernon. And if we do what we're supposed to do, we can have good seasons and win championships. We can have good seasons and not win championships.
Now, you and I, it seems like, have always been on the other side of the fence all the years, me at White Plains, you at Mount Vernon. I moved on to become the public address announcer at the school that has the second most amount of state championships behind Mount Vernon, Bridgehampton, all the way out on the east end of Long Island. The Killer Bees, I see your board up behind you on the wall. It's got that yellow strip, the exact Killer Bees uniform color back there. At Bridgehampton, they have the star players. They've had them through the years, too, like at Mount Vernon. But with the coaches there, it's always been defense first. If you don't defend, you don't get to play, and we don't care who you are, what your name tag might say, or what your stat sheet might say, or who might be recruiting you right now. At Mount Vernon, it always seemed to be, despite all the star players, defense first, and that seems to be the recipe for any successful basketball coach. I always said the Dallas Mavericks would never win an NBA championship until they finally played defense. They finally did, and they won one about 11, 12 years ago.
Well, you should never have an off day on defense. You might be off in your shooting, but defense is about intelligence and effort. And hopefully, if you've paid attention in practice and melded with your team, you're going to put out a good product each and every time. Mm-hmm. So we are proud. We do talk defense. Our practices are probably 75% defensive. And that's what makes us work.
Like a coach told me a long time ago, you could shoot 2 for 13. If you play defense, you'll be on the court. You could shoot 11 for 13. If you don't play defense, seat on the bench for you. And I learned that a long time ago. And I always thought it was about offense growing up. And then you grow up and you play the game and you see and you work with different coaches, not about offense, not about what you score. It's about what you contribute to the team and what the team needs that day. They might need 20 points from you that day. Tomorrow, they might need 8 rebounds from you and 2 points. If the 8 rebounds and 2 points gets the win, that's what it's about.
Oh, sure. You've got to be a role player, even if you're a star sometimes. You've got to do certain things that make that scoreboard change in your favor. We're very prejudiced towards defense here. We really are. I've had some great scorers, but if you usually look, very rarely does a Mount Vernon player lead Westchester in scoring. Very rarely.
How do you convince those star players to play defense, to buy into the program, and make them understand that if you do what needs to be done, you're not hurting yourself by not scoring as much? You got scouts in the stands. You have other coaches from different programs in the stands. They know the game. They know what you are supposed to do. It may not be score 30 points today. It may be get 14 rebounds today. And if you do what they know you need to do today, you'll get to where you want to go.
Well, yeah, Ben Gordon taught me that they only remember you when you win. So we have to get into the psyche of our players, and we have to convince them that the route that we're going will produce wins. And our players are very loyal, and they buy in. And if defense is a top thing, sometimes you do have to sacrifice your numbers in order to advance your team. And usually our teams meld. And in February, the thought does occur that, you know, if you stub your toe now, we're putting the uniforms away. And they love each other so much that they want to keep playing, and they'll do almost anything to keep on going with a win.
You mentioned another legendary Mount Vernon name whose career I got to see firsthand and worked some games that he played in at White Plains and other venues, Ben Gordon. He had a superb career in the NBA, and I did a number of Big East games for CBS Radio, covering the games for CBS 880 in the city. I'd get to see Ben after some of the games on court. I'd go down, say hello to him on the court. He always seemed to appreciate that. He always seemed to be, when I talked to him years after Mount Vernon, appreciative of what you did for him and what the program did for him and everybody else who played for Mount Vernon along the way. And I think that's maybe your best legacy.
Well, he was a gift to coach. He was very special at a young age, and he just honed his skills and he outworked everyone. So if you wanted to play on Mount Vernon, you had someone to look up to. Even had older players looking up to him at an early age. And to add to it, Ben had his high game in White Plains High School. He scored 41 points. Mm-hmm. One game, and that was pretty much unheard of, because the guy who sits down the sideline from me, might be the best coach I've ever seen, a guy named Spencer Mayfield, he has all sorts of defensive weapons up his sleeve. And so for Ben to do that, it was truly an honor to witness. And you know, that day, Ben wasn't going to have it. He ended up getting stitches. He got cut under his eye, and I think that propelled him even more. So
let's see if you remember this at White Plains. It was 07 or 08. I think it was 08. White Plains had not beaten Mount Vernon in several years. And a game ended on a controversial call right in front of me over at the scores table, where the call went against Mount Vernon. Final seconds, clock time expired, matter of fact. And I think White Plains might have hit a foul shot to win the game, and you were questioning the referees about what happened. And I think we over at the scores table at White Plains kind of thought, White Plains people may not like this, we thought you were right. And it was a tough call, but I thought you were right. And another coach, a Tom Thibodeau, might have gone crazy and not left the court until he at least made his point several times over, at least. And you kind of shrugged and just kind of, all right, walked away. And I said to somebody at the table, I said, he's won, beaten White Plains so many times and won here so many years in a row that he must figure, well, White Plains got to win one of these years. All right, well, let it be now, even though you look to be right. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that particular game. I remember a lot of hard-fought victories, and I remember quite a few losses in that gym as well. Mm-hmm. We had in 2011, we had been snowed out, and we had to reschedule the game. It got rescheduled on a Saturday, and we were a really good team. We went into the White Plains last game of the season. We got humbled lovely. And I really think that game helped us go on to win the states and the Federation that year in 2011.
Do losses do that sometimes, especially tough losses, toughen the team up, make them see maybe we're not as good playing like this as we think we are, and we got to step it up a grade or two?
It's a beautiful way to reset and a beautiful way to start your season and postseason practice.
Like Rick Pitino said when St. John's lost a few days ago against Pace University, and they were not competitive the whole game in an exhibition game. And Pitino said, great, we beat Rutgers. You thought we were all world a week before. Now you see a game like this and you're questioning us and me all over. And what I can say as a coach is you got to have games like this to make the players see it's not that easy. And you can't level off that your work, your intensity out there on the court has got to always be on the up and up, because once you start to take it down, you can lose to anybody. And we lost to Pace. And he basically thanked Pace for beating St. John's the way they did.
All losses teach. Wins are nice, but losses teach. It definitely gets your players' attention, and it lets you be a better coach. You can try to correct what happened. A lot of times, if you win a real close game, I've gone into the locker room afterwards, and I said, we're probably going to meet that team later on, and I don't think you learned anything today. And they're looking at me like, we won. What do you mean? And I said, we're fighting against an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle right now because I don't have your attention like I should. A narrow loss is a difference maker. So
you're not allowed to win every game?
Well, you don't want to win every game.
I did when I played. Long time ago, obviously. And I had to have people talk to me. And my father was the one who rang my bell after a game one day and said, I know you think you're supposed to win every game, that you basically have a given right to that. You got to learn you can't win every game. That's not the way it works. And you got to figure out what you might, no matter what you might have done on the court during a game, you got to figure out what you can do different next time. Because no matter what you did today, and you might have thought you did enough, you didn't do enough. You lost the game. So there had to be something that maybe you didn't do that you could think about, and maybe think about it next time and translate it onto the court the next time you play. But you can't win every game. So you got to get out of that mentality, your best effort all the time. And then you can look yourself in the mirror, say, I gave it my best shot. But you're not going to win every game. So that'll help you along the way in life understand that. And that when you don't win, you got to get up from it and not look for excuses about why you didn't win.
Sure. The only time I tell my players there's one time, there's only one time when I want to win every game. That's when the playoffs start.
That's when you have to win every game, right? You have no choice at that point.
Yes, indeed.
Bob Cimino, congratulations on your selection to the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame. You'll be inducted November 15th with the class of 2023. All right, we got you in, and that Ray Williams picture has been on my front door for 40 years. I got to say now, we got to get Ray Williams in sometime, somehow, next.
That would be awesome. I'm shocked that he's not in there already.
I am too. He passed away a number of years ago, close to a decade ago. He had a lot of hard times after his NBA career. Bob Cimino, congratulations. All the best to you.
Thanks, John. I really appreciated the interview. Thank you so much. And I didn't mind the orange so much.
Now, you know what? Matches the Westchester Talk Radio logo too. So
very nice.
There you go. All right. Bob Cimino, our thanks to you.
Thank you.
Again, our congratulations to Bob Cimino to be inducted into the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame Wednesday, November 15th, along with the rest of the class of 2023. Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. Maybe we'll see you there. For tickets, get in touch with Kevin Cook at the Westchester County Department of Parks, Recreation, and Conservation. This is the Sports Report. I'm John Marino. WestchesterTalkRadio.com, produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. By White Plains Hospital and by Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction of Armonk. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, Orange, and Fairfield County Talk Radio on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube. Yes, indeed, you can download our app 24/7, 365. Take it with you. It's called Westchester Talk. And yes, we are now on Apple Podcasts, too.